Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Have a seat right there next to me because you are on the road to rock with me. I'm your host, Clint Switzer. Welcome to the show. It's been a couple of weeks. Had to take some time to shore up a couple things and get everything up and up on the business end. Let me tell you this, dealing with taxes, things like that on from kind of a small personal business, it is no walk in the park, as I've learned. So here we are back with a show this week. It is with none other than Ralph Schepers, the vocalist from the German power metal band Primal Fear, is going to be joining me to talk about the band's re-release of the, it's going to be a deluxe edition from the band's self-titled debut album, which came out in 1998. Primal Fear is such a respected German metal band. Vocalist Ralph Schepers, a lot of people, you know, give him the credit as one of the best metal singers in the world today. Of course, his influences go back to bands like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, and a lot of people make that comparison that he does have that Halford-type high-end sound. I mean, he is absolutely great. Primal Fear is a band that's been around for 25 years. They are working on a new album. We're going to get into all of that and much more with Ralph, as well as the details on the release of the deluxe edition of the self-titled debut album, which is sort of my indoctrination to Primal Fear. I remember hearing that Chainbreaker song and thinking, man, this is like the German version of Judas Priest's Painkiller, and I loved it. And they've had a fortuitous 25-year career, and we hope to get them back out on the road soon. We're going to talk about all that and much more with Ralph Schepers, who's going to be joining us all the way from South Germany. But I just kind of wanted to, you know, set the scene here as we are off and running into the summer months here, into June. Hope everybody's been able to go out, enjoy live music, enjoy your life, enjoy the freedoms that summer provide. Guys, it's all about going to the lake, spending time with your friends and family, getting out on the boat, whatever it is that you like to do, take a road trip. That's what the summers are for. That's what it's all about to me, getting out there and enjoying this beautiful country or wherever you live. Guys, summertime always has been a bastion of freedom to me, and I live that to the fullest, even now well into my 30s. So absolutely hope you guys are having a great summer so far, able to go out and catch a show. I've got some coming up, including next week, going down to Lampy, Missouri. Yeah, that's like south of Springfield, down by Branson somewhere. I've never been. It's the Black Oak Amphitheater, and it's going to be the Eric Groenewald-fronted Skid Row, Warrant, and Quiet Riot. Guys, I'm pumped. I'm ready for the show. I can't wait to see Eric Groenewald fronting Skid Row, singing all those classic songs in his powerhouse vocal style, and even the new song, The Gang's All Here, which I'm a big fan of. And of course, Warrant, Robert Mason, a good friend of ours, Joey Allen, Eric Turner, those guys from Warrant are always been so close to this show, and always tremendous to see them live and enjoy those great songs that, you know, of from, you know, Janie Lane, and Robert Mason does such a good job on them. I'm just a huge fan of his. So a lot of big things coming up. Certainly hope you guys are off and running into your summer plans. So without further ado, going to take you to this week's interview. It is with none other than Ralph Schepers, vocalist from Primal Fear. Sir, how are you? How's everything going?
I'm fine. Thank you. It's just been, you know, this link just guided me to Firefox. My Safari browser didn't do it, so I had to download Firefox first. So now it's happening. So can you hear me well? Can you see me well?
Absolutely, but on both ends. Sorry, usually StreamYard's is the easiest one to use. So I apologize that there were some problems there.
I'm used to Zoom and to Skype. So if StreamYard it's now StreamYard, I'm also okay with no problem.
Do you miss just being able to use your phone and call into a radio show? I mean, was that easier? Or?
No, I like the Skype shit more actually, because phone is also it's a hustle and taking care of costs and shit. I think it's best to do that way.
It's more personal. It's great to kind of see you here. This is awesome. Are you in Germany right now? What's going on today for you?
I am in South Germany in my home, yep. Yes, in my studio.
Amazing. So you're like 8 hours ahead. So it's like nighttime there. We're here
it's
in the
8 p.m. actually. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you're 7 hours ahead of us. We're here in the Midwest where we've had just a beautiful run of weather. It's like 80 degrees. It's summertime here. This is kind of, you know, this is kind of my time, Ralph. I don't know if you're
I like it more. With 20 degrees Celsius, it's not Fahrenheit. It's still okay. It's a good spring here so far.
Yeah, okay, I gotta like convert that Celsius to Fahrenheit. So, yeah, no, yeah, that's about right. Well, it's a very exciting and interesting time here for Primal Fear as you guys are getting ready to kind of have a re-release of your debut album that came out in 1988. This is exciting. So why? I guess we'll just start with this. Why did you feel like now is the time? I know you guys are kind of transitioning and working on a new album that will probably coincide with you know, with your 25th anniversary, but why was kind of now the time to re-release this album, this all-important debut self-titled album that came out in February of 1998?
Actually, it's a team decision because we have changed record company, which is now from Nuclear Blast to Atomic Fire. The team swapped a little bit. There was something going on we were not somehow familiar with, but in the end, we're now at Atomic Fire. And the decision was now to the anniversary of 25 years of Primal Fear, just to do a special for the fans, to have a little bit of a candy. And so we added the bonus tracks like Breaker and Jane Breaker and Running in the Dust Live. Breaker was the live studio version we covered once. And that's the bonbon. And of course, the candy. And of course, it's remastered by Jacob Hansen, who's always doing the sounds for us. And it's just great. You know, it's a good thing. It's a good package for the fans. And of course, also a little bit to overcome the time a little bit for we couldn't do anything in terms of COVID and now the illness in the band. So we somehow keep the time a little bit shorter and give the people something from us.
Well, it's tremendous. I've been able to go through and check out the whole thing. The sound is tremendous. Just how important was the album for Primal Fear as you guys are sort of formed in 1997, you come out with this debut in 1998. And it's really, it was kind of where I first started hearing about the band because I heard the song Chainbreaker and I was like, this is freaking Painkiller in, you know, packaged up by this amazing, this German metal band that I've never heard. It reminded me a lot of like Judas Priest's Painkiller album. Chainbreaker, talk about the importance of just kind of that album as you guys are getting started. You release this to the world and it's sort of the genesis for everything that Primal Fear that came after it, right?
I mean, I tell you, Clint, I mean, we've been meeting up in the studio when Sinner recorded an album. Matt and Tom wanted me to sing choirs for a Sinner album. And I was in the face of just doing nothing at the time because, you know, the story with Priest didn't happen. I was not in Gamma Ray anymore. Mm-hmm. And they somehow asked me if we should write some stuff. And that's what we did. And the good thing is JVC from Japan, the record company, was waiting for some material from me anyway. And we just wrote very, very fresh out of our mind, out of our blood, what we think, in our opinion, is heavy metal. And that's what we did. And then Chainbreaker was the first song we ever composed. And we recorded a demo with Chainbreaker 9 Live, Silver and Gold, and Dollars, and sent that to Japan and got the contract right away. And we were in a good position because then the European companies also started somehow a competition to get us, to sign us. So that was a good start. It was a good go.
Well, this deluxe edition is tremendous. You got that original cover art, which is just absolutely tremendous and reels you in. I've always been such a fan of physical media that, like, you know, I'm only 38 years old. So so many bands that I love and adore now were already established whenever I'm growing up. Right. But just seeing, I remember going to my uncle's basement and just seeing his, he had a Kiss Destroyer album. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what really rock and roll was. That album meant so much to me. Just talk about the cover art for that first Primal Fear album and just sort of how it kind of, it just sets the standard for what the band is and what it stands for and how important just cover art is to you guys.
For us, it was important to be as metal as possible. So,
right. Yeah.
This guy, Stefan Lohmann, who was drawing covers, Matt got the connection to him and he made this, he offered us this album cover to us. It was his first idea of having this, and whenever we saw, the first time we saw it, we said, well, that's it. We love the power of an eagle, the liberty and the strength, and the metallic eagle even more. So that's exactly what we liked so much, and that's the reason why I also have it on my arm.
There it is.
It's exactly that cover, because it's metal as fuck, isn't it? Sorry for
no. No constraints here. Keep it coming. That's great. And you know, that does. And I think that it is a powerful statement about what the band is and what the band became. So I want to talk about kind of the chemistry and sort of the working relationship that you have with, you know, your bassist, Matt, who you guys have, you know, been, you know, on the forefront of Primal Fear. You guys have been there through all the ups and downs and the member changes. You and Matt remain. Just kind of talk about your guys' working relationship and what that's like and how it's been able to withstand 25 years. Cause it's not easy, is it?
It's not easy. Of course you have to overcome certain stuff. And of course, when it's going live, sometimes there's the problems begin, or it somehow brings you more together. And for some people that worked, and for some people, not. Some people develop into another direction, not only musical wise, also privately sometimes. And then you split, but in a good way. So there's no bad blood or something. It's just maybe some ideas of joining Primal Fear of some members were different. So and we can change. Our idea always was there to rock the world and to be metal again, metal as fuck, and to compose metal music and to go out there and play. And yeah, that was it. And the Colonel, Matt and me, and of course Tom, he was out two times and came back.
Right.
Yeah, it somehow. Yes, because once you have this in your blood, you can't stop, right? So, we get along well. We're good buddies, everybody.
Just kind of talk about your upbringing there in Germany and kind of where the musical influences come from. Because to me, you know, I learned about metal when I was very young, and I was into Iron Maiden and Priest and, you know, Sabbath and every band that you could imagine. But when I started to discover the German bands, I was like, there's something different there. I Halloween, bands like that. Where did your kind of influences mostly come from? I know you're a diehard Priest fan. So when you're growing up in Germany, what are you listening to and what kind of sets forth? Because this German metal thing, it all kind of, I mean, there's so many bands that come from there. They're absolutely tremendous. Hammerfall, just, you know, there's so many. Scorpions is one of my favorite bands of all time. So what's different about the German metal side, and what was kind of the genesis for you when it comes to this style of music?
Hammerfall is from Sweden, by the way.
Oh, that's anyway. Right. That's, yes, they are. I've,
don't worry.
Oscar would, I'm going to cut, Oscar would kill me for that, because I've had him on the show before.
It started earlier for me, actually, Clint. I also already listened to Sweet. Also ABBA and some
another Slade. Swedish band, yes.
Exactly. Well, yeah, so it was more the glam rock which first got me, and then of course when the new wave of so-called British heavy metal, which is, we also include Accept and Scorpions, like you said, and that of course was something else. And I heard the first Iron Maiden's albums, and of course then later the Priest. I was 13 years old when the Unleash in the East album, the live album, came out. I did not listen to it when I was 13, but when I was 16, I was in a buddy's house and heard that, and fuck, it really grabbed my neck and said, wow, get goosebumps up and down. And since then, I'm a big metal fan. And then I was singing in the alleys of Essling in my hometown, and I screamed the Green Metal Ishii, the last phrases, and I thought, wow, doesn't sound so bad. I can do it too. But, you know, after all those years, of course, when you do your own kind of stuff, you also develop your own style. And of course, I was a fanboy back in the days, but I got out of that. It's pretty much more respecting nowadays what all the bands are doing. They're still there, like Maiden, Priest, you know, so also Accept. And there's so much respect going on in both directions. And that's a good thing, you know.
Why do you think that Europe has kind of become the hub, the bastion, continues to wave the flag for heavy metal? Well, in America, it comes and goes. We know how, you know, America is when it comes to popular music. There's fads that come in and things are, you know, it's kind of fickle, to be honest. But in Europe, you see new bands that continue to emerge. Sweden, you mentioned Hammerfall, but like bands in Sweden, even more on kind of the Swedish sleaze style bands, Crazy Licks and Heat, and all these bands that are more on the pop melodic side. But why do you think Europe has continued to be that? Wave that flag for this genre.
I really don't know, Clint, but I know that we have somehow maybe a little bit more classical background. Mm-hmm. And I think the big wave back in the 80s really swapped to Europe, which is, I mean, England's Europe anyway. It was Europe. It's not anymore. It's dangerous and difficult right now. Anyway, so I think it really influenced many, many people. And you can tell that back in the days, the concerts were full and there were kids growing up in an era where metal really was very, very popular. And I think that influenced many, many young kids as well to form bands and do music on their own.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's become where I, you know, personally as a music fan that I find myself identifying with so many bands from not only Germany, but Europe itself and Scandinavia and all these places. So definitely have to get over there for a festival. Speaking of live performances, Primal Fear, it's been a while. What do you guys kind of have planned? What do you see as the future as far as performances go? I know you, like every band in the world, has had to cancel dates and postponements and all that happened over the last couple of years. So what's kind of the future hold for that?
We still have to cancel because unfortunately we have this illness in the band, but the thing is we are composing. That's the other side of, you always have the positive, you talk about
you
positive things, and we are composing like crazy. So the next step might be a new album. I hope so, but we still don't know. That there's going to be some festivals later this year, but if it's not happening, we are absolute loyal guys and we stick to each other and we somehow compose like crazy and put everything together in a pot and stir it here and there and produce a new album. Then
is that hard for you as a performer? Because I've interviewed so many bands over the last 2 years. Some people say, oh, I didn't realize how much of a grind that the road was. It was taking years off my life. It was hard. And then others will say, I miss it so much. It's an adrenaline rush. Like there's no other, this band is all about live performances. Where do you fall in that? Has it been difficult for you? Or like you said, taking the positives of we're having a chance to write music and get off the road a little bit and wear and tear on the voice, things like that.
It always was both things, Clint. It always was the live playing, having the adrenaline kicks. And that's exactly why you do it, because it's live music. And if you're standing in front of that crowd and they give you so much back, and I always consider this as a family anyway. It's like, really, it's a big, huge family, metal family, sticking together and having a party when you have live shows. And you don't want to miss that as a musician, of course. But if you can't, you can't. And if you are being creative and busy all the time in a good way, then it's always a good outcome in the end, right? And of course, once again, I miss live playing, but it's going to happen pretty soon with another thing, but that's going to be announced soon.
Well, Ralph, we've kind of talked about it. What is sort of the process right now? Where are you guys at as far as the new album goes? Of course, it's been now a couple of years since the last Primal Fear album. People are kind of wondering what it's going to be like, what the timetable is. Of course, Metal Commando was the last album you did for Nuclear Blast. It was a tremendous effort, but where do things stand right now in the writing and the recording process?
Yeah, we didn't even have the chance to tour Metal Commando.
Right.
But once again, we are putting something together and we are not sitting around doing nothing. We are just really, like I said before, we're composing like crazy, and then we have a big thing coming later. And that's why we also somehow now also released this re-release of the first album.
Yep.
So to tell the people, hello, we're still here. And you're going to listen to new materials pretty soon. And let's keep the fingers crossed that we will play live soon again.
Yeah, that is first and foremost. I mean, I guess I took it for granted. You know, I'm someone that goes to 30, 40 shows a year and travel the country and the world if I can. Yeah. And so it's been crazy. And it's something I never thought that I'd have to, do without or give up, and here we all are. But this is what rock and roll, man, it always
yes, and they say something about the next wave again, then this wave and whatever, but I just hope that they will not cancel culture again, because we have enough cancel culture anyway.
Yeah, that's another show for another day. You're right about that. So I kind of want to get into some of your personal bio, because I find you and I find the band so interesting, and some of your, I just kind of want to go through a few of these things, kind of have some fun with it, because as I understand it, your favorite city, you know, is this your favorite city to visit or favorite city to play in? Vancouver, Canada. And tell us why that is.
Oh yes, that's, I got that from the website. We were actually mixing an album in 2005 in Vancouver, BC, and it was so beautiful. You know, Fraser kicked us out of the studio because he was not, he said, what are you guys doing here entirely? You want to listen to my mixes? And said, yeah, why not listening to it? No, it's not happening. So just go out and watch and just have some sightseeing in BC, in Vancouver. That's what we did. And we explored the city, and it's so beautiful. It's so nice. And of course, it's very open-minded people as well, people there, and it was a great experience, and that's why it's still my favorite city, one of the favorites. The next one is in Europe.
Oh, well, it makes sense. I hear a lot of bands that try to record in Vancouver, and they have similar stories, which is that it was just hard to get any work done while being there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
you talked about your favorite, you know, band being Judas Priest. What was your first concert? What was the first show you ever saw?
That was a local band. It's what was rock and roll here in the Stuttgart area. And yes, the first big metal show I can recall, I think it was Screaming for Vengeance, Judas Priest in Böblingen Sindelfingen here in Germany, 1983. That was, again, another thing, and I remember it was Ted Nugent supporting the opener, and it's just great, you know. You go, it's was amazing, the impressive show they put on back in the days already.
Ted Nugent opened that. What was how is Ted Nugent received in Europe? That's got to be a whole different ball game.
It changed.
Yeah. No, I got to be honest. I love Ted. We've had him on the show. I think he's one of the greatest rhythm guitarists I've ever seen. You know,
great musician, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great story. So, I believe the band's, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first Primal Fear tour in the U.S., 2003 of U.S. and Canada, and you guys do the Metal Gods tour with Helford and Testament and Immortal, and there were more bands as well. Just talk about that, what that was like, being able to tour with Helford, who was doing a solo thing at the time. He had a couple tremendous Helford albums in the early 2000s. So just kind of give your experiences of that and what that was like touring with Rob.
Crazy, amazing, beautiful. Wow. But unfortunately, we had to cancel some shows, I think the second leg was canceled. And I mean, this experience every night to see your idol from back in the days, and like I said, it all developed in the direction of having a good relationship now as friends and respect and so forth. But back in the days, and also still in 2003, I watched every show every night on the side of the stage, and this man was just delivering every night, you know. So for me personally, all the other guys were having beers in the nightliners, and I was just watching the show. That was just great, and of course it's a great experience, not only because of Halford, but also because of playing in front of the crowd and please the fans and have a good time with them. It was really great, and when the proposal came in that we might do this, I was just really more than happy.
What was your reaction when Judas Priest announced somewhat recently that they were going to be touring but with only one guitarist? Okay, that speaks for itself, right?
didn't work out. No, that's good.
It didn't work out. That's the important thing, is they were like, you know what? Okay, that double guitar sound, Tipton and Downing, I don't think that there's ever been a more influential guitar tandem in that I could ever remember in my life. So I know they're not with the band anymore, but it's still, that sound is so important and we love both guys. But yeah, that was a bad idea. So I've read from the website, your favorite movies are Gladiator and Salt. Why is that?
It needs to be updated. It's old, but it was, because I'm very much a fan of these action movies and this monumental stuff going on. You know, I still like very much. And Salt, I need to watch that movie again. And because it's just great actors too. I mean, I like great actors. Who doesn't? And I like the soundtracks of movies. I just bought a lot of gear here in terms of also doing some soundtracks once in a while. And that's what I like about movies. The entire entertainment and impression is just amazing. It's show, you know, and as a showman, you also sometimes consume stuff, and you're consuming the show of watching a good movie on a downtime on a Friday evening or Saturday evening. It's just wonderful.
Well, you talk about needing to update it. I guess I have to ask, if you like action movies, have you seen the new Top Gun? Because that might make your list at some point.
Not yet. It's going to be in the movies later here in Germany, but we will watch it.
It's excellent. It is absolutely excellent. You know, I feel like in America, we have been inundated with remakes and reboots and superheroes for far too long. This is like sort of a return to iconic filmmaking, and they're in the cockpits or in the planes. I mean, that's, you can't beat that.
Also Black Adam. I mean, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
It's just great. You know,
I haven't seen that yet. I love
neither. Of course, it's not out yet, but ooh, can't wait. It's going to be October 21st. A lot of advertising here, huh?
Absolutely. This is so guys, we're talking with Ralph Sheepers, the singer from Primal Fear, and I want to make sure that everybody gets the correct information about kind of how to pre-order the album, because I believe that the reissued self-titled debut, the deluxe edition, officially releases, I don't know if it's true for America, but maybe in Germany, July 15th, is that correct?
Exactly, yes.
So you can go pre-order it right now. Primalfear.de, that's the website for the band, primalfear.de. You can actually check out the lyric video for Chainbreaker. Why that song? I mean, that's one of the more powerful songs maybe Primal Fear has from that album. But was it as simple as, you know, that song was so impactful early on, or was there another reason that you chose that song to kind of release that lyric video for?
Yes, I mean, because that was the first rock song we ever wrote together. And it's also a great statement with the riff, starting with the riff already. And then the income of the drums and the singing and so forth. And that's the reason why we also still play that live, because we think it's just great for the fans. If it gives us chills and goosebumps.
Hey, it still works. I get it. It does. It still gives me boost gumps too.
It works for the band too. That's what I wanted to say.
It's crazy because a lot of bands, Def Leppard comes to mind, like when they release, you know, their first album, which is On Through the Night. And I feel like those songs, as time goes by, you release more albums, you get more hits, more radio hits, you sort of drop those songs. And Primal Fear seems to be a band that doesn't do that. You call back to those early days, and it's important to you to stay true to those songs.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not easy to pick to choose a list in the end. You've got so many albums out now, you know, so it's not easy to please everybody. There's always somebody who's pitching
that. Isn't that a good thing, though? I always feel like the harder it is to pick a set list for a band, the more that you've accomplished and the better that you've done. Because for a lot of bands, early on, you're like, what do we play? You know, you maybe throw in some covers, you're doing some Deep Purple and things like that. But when you have struggled to put together a set list, that's the best compliment you could have, right? Well, Ralph, we cannot thank you enough for joining us here on the Road to Rock.
Thanks for having me, Clint.
It's been a true honor. I hope to see you guys live in the future, and I'll be there wherever it is. I'll be up there to see you guys live whenever it happens, and best of luck on everything going forward. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Clint. You take care. Please stay healthy. And
you too, my friend.
Yep.
Ben.
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 Yep.
Ben.